Okay, so I've just hit record. And Paul, thank you so much for taking the time for this podcast episode. It's been quite a couple of years, I think. That was kind of like during the pandemic days that we did a podcast episode, and it was quite insightful. So thanks again for appearing on the podcast. How are things with you? How are things at and am I pronouncing it correctly? I've been saying Clavio this whole time, but
Yeah, nearly. It's Clavio.
Clavio. Oh my God, way off. Apologies, apologies.
That's all right. You're not the only one, trust me. We even have t-shirts branded with how to pronounce Clavio on them. So no, all good. Yeah, it's been yeah, I was just trying to think. I think it was probably right in the middle of the pandemic when we last had a chat, and it seems like a very long time ago. I was actually looking ahead of this. I think the last lockdown was 3 years ago in the springtime. So yeah, long time, Jose. Good to talk to you again.
Same. You know what? As I was th thinking about it, I was kind of wondering how did we go from, because first pandemic and then the quiet resignation, I think they called it, to, and then from like 1 second to the next, like mass layoffs, but also record profits. You know, like a lot happened. Like, oh, how did we go? I mean, it was such a weird journey, you know, and we're still kind of like in that, well, hopefully getting out of that layoff kind of like environment, you know, hopefully things pick up, but I think we'll kind of catch up on that kind of market in a couple of seconds, you know. First, I guess, quick little intro to yourself, if that's okay, Paul. You know, tell us about what you're currently doing and your current company, just to get a little picture.
For sure. So, I'm Paul Abercrombie. I look after talent acquisition here at Klaviyo in EMEA. I also look after APAC. So, got a small team here in London and also a recruiter down in Australia. All in, we probably hired in sort of about 200-ish people into EMEA and APAC in 2023. So, we're very busy hiring still, despite everything that we've kind of touched on here. Previous to that, I was at a company called Bizarre Voice, looking after talent acquisition globally. Was there actually 12 years, so a very long time, but managed to make my way through a bunch of different roles there to eventually head up the global app talent acquisition team. Hiring consistently across go-to-market, engineering, and all the areas. Going back to Klaviyo, where I am now, just to give Klaviyo a little intro. So we're a soft first and foremost a software company here. We're selling a marketing automation platform to retailers and brands across the world. The platform's made up of a few different things. Email is the product we're kind of famous for, but just in recent times we've added a bunch of other tools onto the platform. So email, of course. We have SMS capability, reviews, so the ability to capture and display review content on retail and brand sites. And then we're playing into the data space. So we have a really strong CDP product now as well, which allows our clients to really build out pretty smart, accurate pictures of their customers themselves.
Sure. And how would you describe, kind of just a final question on that point, but Klaviyo, culture, people, what's the environment like?
I'm obviously going to be quite biased here, right?
Of
Because
course, of course.
I'm having a great time here, but it is a I don't want to say anything too cliche, but at the same time, I don't know best how to how else to describe some areas of it. So we are a fairly typical kind of US startup that has evolved into a bigger tech company over time. Amazing sort of offices and facilities, a lot of fun and good times with the teams. I'd say like the way our culture really stands up for me is through our KRGs. So our KRGs are our Klaviyo resource groups. So you might call them employee resource groups. Over 50% of Klaviyo employees are part of our KRGs. So there's a bunch of different ones. The prominent ones in EMEA, we have our Black KRG, we have our K Ladies KRG, and we have our Pride KRG. And so we have a consistent theme on our general culture at Klaviyo, which I'll touch on a bit more in a moment. But from seeing that come to life, it's often through the activity of our KRGs, be it, an education session on different subjects in the office, be it a party, be it a just like an internal awareness drive in particular areas. It's a really healthy approach that we have, empowering our KRGs to do so many different things. But generally at Klaviyo, it's a very fast-moving environment. People here are very driven by what we're trying to do. It feels chaotic at times. People won't mind me saying that at all, but ultimately everyone is driving to support our customers in the best possible way, but also be their best selves at work. We've got a big always learning culture here, which is driven from our CEO predominantly. And so that mentality of always looking for more, for more, and trying to sort of do more all the time really does shine through. One of the other benefits that we have linked to that as well, we actually have a free book policy. So any Klaviyo can claim and expense any book at any time on any subject. So the whole concept of reading and educating yourself runs right through the company, and it even extends to the way we support people through that that little perk that we have.
Of course, we look on that education piece, super important and super valuable, but super interesting also how you focus on communities at Klaviyo, right? So I was reading this, I think it was this article way back that was criticizing how much companies are investing into like mindfulness apps. You know, if there's conflict in the office, then here's a mindfulness app. Here's something that just, it's just kind of very self-serve type approach to fixing sort of issues, whereas ultimately what works best is a community, right? Like a group at work to discuss challenges, to discuss ideas and solutions to problems. So I think that's something a bit more valuable than like, oh, here's a little, mindfulness app or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, I recognize that. I can see that argument for sure. I think there's a place for all of those things, right? Because especially in a growing company, people need support and help in different ways. And for some people, these groups that we have work beautifully. For others, it's just not the way they kind of vibe, and other ways to get support or reach out, as many avenues as possible, all good. But yeah, our KRG is really just they're a safe space for people. People can be themselves. It's not driven by level or role or hierarchy or anything like that. And it's really nice to see it all come together. I would say, I talked about the main ones that we have, but we got loads of other little things, like little spin-off. Like for instance, there were like I think it was Tuesday this week, there was a board game night at the office. No, Wednesday night this week, a board game night at the office. And so again, not something you'd immediately associate with a fast-growing tech company in London, but just seeing all the folks enjoying the board game night, spending time with each other, having a chat, having a glass of wine, and all that stuff is really great to see.
Of course, that's that culture, that team bonding piece, right, that you bring to the table with these communities. Changing topics briefly, and going back to kind of the the topic I wanted to discuss with you, starting with kind of the market, right? For, I guess you could kind of see it as recruiters, HR professionals, but also the broader kind of London, UK market. I mean, it's been such a tricky one. And at least from my perspective, you know, I'm actively looking for new roles and can definitely see tons of other applicants competing for roles, and hiring has slowed down. I'm hoping over the last couple of weeks or over the next few weeks, things will seem to be picking up again, but it's just so tough to really, really kind of predict, right? I was reading the other day, so the economy seems to be kind of, you know, increasing bit by bit, so improving bit by bit. So hopefully we'll see an upwards trend. But I don't know how switched on you've been with like the talent recruitment space, or any hot take there.
So yeah, it's interesting times, isn't it? You know, we're all talking about it all of the time, and all I think everyone's got their own views on it and own perception of it. But if you just think of the economy as a whole, you know, as a homeowner, and you know, I've got kids and bills, and you know, it just feels crazy at the moment. Like the price of everything is skyrocketing. I saw a article the other day about the price of olive oil. The price of olive oil in Tesco's and Sainsbury's, just like, it's getting on for like £10 a bottle now for like the nice olive oil. It's just crazy. But people are struggling all over the place. I see it, and it's, you know, it's tough for a lot of people out there. I think as it links to the tech industry as a whole, I do feel I'm seeing sort of shoots of recovery and positivity in the tech industry as a whole. What I see within that, though, is the theme not too dissimilar to mirroring how tech companies were kind of reducing and letting go of people, and some still are, right? But unfortunately, like for the people side of things, as we think of recruiters and HR, it seems to be one of the last functions that eventually starts to hire again, right? So as we look at the work of my team and the candidates and the interactions that we have, I think right now it's very competitive on the sales front. Like the candidates that we are talking to are typically, you know, two or three good opportunities on the go. We're getting to offer stages, and there are other offers either on the table or pending. So for the real sort of high match, high quality candidates that we're coming across, it is getting pretty competitive again there. I think like marketing, customer success, services types of roles, similar, not quite to the extent that we've seen in sales, but on that front, you know, I'm seeing people getting jobs. You know, lots of ex-colleagues from various different roles that I've worked with over the years, I see them picking up jobs. So I definitely see some positivity again there. And then I think, you know, people team included, they're sort of like supporting the business types of roles, like your HR, your finance, IT, accounting, et cetera, probably like the third phase, and I still feel it's pretty tough in those sectors as well. You know, folks are doing amazing creative things in between, you know, like this is a great example, and I'm seeing sort of a lot of proactivity, but hearing similar things that you've said there, like people that are going for jobs, 100, 300, 500 people going for the same role. So it is tough. But even within that, you know, I've seen recruiters pick up roles recently. I think the nature of those roles, and just to be candid, you know, the salaries that folks were looking at in the COVID years, it's just not quite at that level. And there's a balance, right? I think some companies are really trying to undercut and undervalue the talent, but it does feel that the salaries are a couple of steps down from, unfortunately, where they were previously.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that's been in recruitment even 2 or 3 years ago, I suppose, remembers that weird period where salaries for recruitment, especially recruitment, a little bit HR also. I mean, I remember trying to, 2021, I had this one talent partner role advertised once, and people with 2 years experience, 3 years experience were asking for salaries that were like maybe 20, 30K higher than what they would have been, right? I mean, and now I guess, as you mentioned, I think we're seeing partly a bit of some companies trying to undercut, but also just the market readjustment, right? Because obviously that wasn't sustainable, that slightly post-COVID boom of hiring, and now we're back to a bit of a dip and hopefully a bit of a normalization in the near future.
I would just add one thing. Like I've seen an emergence of new tech company, like new tech types of companies appearing as well. Like, we talk a lot about AI and the worrying concern that AI is going to take our jobs, etc., etc. I'm not really seeing that at the moment. What I'm seeing is lots of companies that are building AI that need people to help build and maintain it, right? And so it's been quite interesting to see those companies kind of spring up. I think it almost a bit like 3, 4 years ago, we saw all these jobs appearing in crypto and Bitcoin and what have you, and NFTs. They're still there or thereabouts, right? But all of a sudden, it was just like so many jobs in Bitcoin and this and that, and all this amazing tech off the back of that. And what we're seeing now is sort of all these companies pop up in AI and automation. And now I feel like I'm starting to see then the roles that then are required to support those companies off the back of that as well.
Yeah, the first kind of thing that impressed me, like I was kind of just browsing LinkedIn, and all of a sudden LinkedIn is now giving you AI generated suggestions for comments on posts. So if you, I don't know if you noticed already, but it was like, wait, what? What are you, when did this happen? And another thing I read about was like the harm or how companies need to be vigilant or people need to be vigilant of, I think they call it AI washing or something like that, where a lot of companies would claim AI, would claim to be AI powered, but in reality they're totally not, right? It's just kind of like I suppose not clever marketing, but like just trying to get more
Just jump
attention
on the
through
bandwagon.
on the bandwagon.
No, it's true. It's true. I've seen that as well. I think, and I'll be honest, like I'm by no means an expert in this area, right? And so yeah, the way I think about AI and the emergence of AI, I'm excited by what it's going to bring for us all. But yeah, I'm still struggling. I need to upskill myself, to be honest, in identifying who are the legitimate players out there and who are the companies that are going to be real disruptors over the next, I don't know, 3 to 5 years as it becomes part and parcel of what we all do all of the time.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And especially depending on the company, but especially at that startup or early scale-up space where you have to keep an eye on costs, on budget, and HR teams are a bit stretched already. One company that I wanted to mention just to get your 2 cents on what they're doing was, I don't know if you've come across MetaView yet, but what they do is they're an AI assistant that helps teams remove admin and toll from hiring processes. And they recently raised a little over 6 million euros in funding. And just to give you a little snippet, but basically they leverage AI to capture conversations throughout the recruitment process to create a single source of truth for hiring teams. So they record and analyze data and interview data mainly to create summaries indexed by topics and reduce kind of admin burden. So I think it's I'm quite new to them, but I guess it's kind of like to help with that interviewing piece and just note keeping and all of that helps you make hiring decisions. I think that's kind of already you can see maybe with ChatGPT how you can tell it, you can show it a bunch of text and then it can summarize it for you or whatever. So I think this can be an interesting kind of spin on interviews and everything. So Yeah, I could personally see the value, but I've never used it, so let's see.
Yeah, I see the value. I think I've spoken to those guys, or it's interesting what they're doing there. It's I again, I'm not an expert on the tech, but the tech that they've put together seems to be fairly similar to other platforms that we see, right? But using it in the TA environment where capturing accurate feedback and documenting that on the system, that's like a pain point for interviewers and companies. We see it here where we interview lots of candidates for lots of roles, and people are always aware of the time commitments they need to make for interviewing to ensure like a good candidate experience, and that you pull the information you need to pull. But the admin of then documenting that and getting it into to the ATS is a struggle. And lots of people work in lots of different ways, right? Some people are just very organized, and they'll get their notes in and it'll be beautifully submitted. Some people work in a very different way. It's a little bit more sort of ad hoc and all over the place. I'm probably somewhere in the middle, but for those that struggle with that admin piece, I think something like that just plays so nicely into a business problem that companies have.
Yeah, and you know what? Like one of the things when I'm discussing with interviewers and hiring panels, hey, what's the challenge with interviewing, or how can we help you fill in scorecards or any help with the ATS? They're like, yeah, can we get something to help us fill in notes, to help take notes, right? Because they find it difficult to take notes, to write and to listen and to talk to candidates. So that whole mental gymnastics that interviews generates, hopefully it removes some of that mental strain on interviewers. Just a final one or two topics if we still have time, Paul. But one thing that kind of always changes a little bit, similar to tech, but kind of not really, is policy and regulation and government. And just wanted to kind of get your take on this, because I think it was the 7th of April, new legislation came in place that now allows more flexible working to employees, right? So I think basically it removes the requirement for an employee to have 26 weeks continuous service before they can make a formal flexible working request. So they're able to make flexible working a request from day one, right? And they can make two flexible working requests every 12 months. So it's a change from one single request. And now I think the act would also reduce the time limit for employers to deal with flexible working requests from 3 to 2 months, right? So they need to deal with them a bit quicker. I'm personally super keen on flexible work, and I didn't even know about these regulations until I started digging into them, right? So maybe there's an educational piece that companies can do. But what's your thoughts on like flexible work and the government policies that are helping facilitate this? Or is it more like, what's your take on this?
So as it links to those policies, yeah, similarly, I was aware of the legislation coming in and the build up to it. I think we are lucky in tech to, on the whole, be working at quite progressive companies that hopefully there won't be too many people out there that need to sort of take advantage of some of these changes, because I'd like to think on the whole tech companies are more adjusted into the sort of new way of work, let's say. Well, it's not new anymore. I feel like the way these changes are is probably more for your traditional industries, like your financial services or your consulting or retail, et cetera, where
Like
some
that
of
old
the
finance also, like that more banking space also, I can imagine. I guess companies that are a bit more, legacy type, right? Like
legacy type companies, and in truth, it a lot of the roles that they have, it is more of a blurred line in between what can be done remotely versus what can't. You know, if you take a city floor trader, for instance, I've got no idea like how that works exactly, but I imagine that the need to be present is very strong there. But anyway, in terms of kind of, again, going back to tech companies, I'd like to think on the whole tech companies are more forward thinking and have brought in ways of working that work and suit the employees that they have. I still know there's people out there that struggle with some that are still asking for 5 days a week or being really difficult around certain criteria, et cetera, et cetera. But I honestly think now, like we touched on earlier, we're 3 years out of the lockdowns. You know, there's no excuse now. Companies need to have landed on where they want to be. They should know their situation, figure out what they're doing, and the rhythm that works for them. I don't think there's really an excuse now if a company's still like, well, maybe we could do flexible, maybe we could do remote. Like they need to have kind of figured out what they want to do. For those, what's been interesting, you know, more, I think companies are generally more moving back to having people back slightly more than perhaps we would have all predicted. I think we were all saying, oh, everyone's going to be remote forever, maybe one day a week. I think we've landed on 2 days a week. I think most companies are somewhere between 2 and 3 days a week in tech. But what's actually interesting within that is that so many companies adjusted during COVID to having people remote. The real estate that people have is now quite different. Like, you know, we're facing challenges at the moment here at Klaviyo with the space, right? We've got an amazing office, but it's just not enough room for everyone. The London commercial property market is extremely competitive still in the key areas that everyone wants to be in, so the most desirable locations. And so lots of companies are getting people back, but I know lots of companies are also struggling with space and utilizing or adapting from any changes that they made during the pandemic times as well. So, but I think, you know, for me personally, the 2 days a week works beautifully well for me. And on the whole, for folks at Klaviyo, it works really well. I think the companies that are pushing 4 or 5 days a week, for me, that's just, you know, certainly wouldn't be a preferred option, let's say. But, you know, for some people that would still work for them. I also feel as though, you know, trajectory of your career and where you are and where you're gaining most sort of experience and learning, that can affect it as well. For example, our sales team here at Klaviyo, a big part of that sales team are either BDR, so it's a fairly early in their sales career, and then they move into account executive, and again some of those sort of fairly early in their closing business sales career, let's say. Organically, those guys are in 3, 4, 5 days a week sometimes. Like we don't really have to push anyone on that. They're just making that choice because they want to surround themselves with their colleagues and learn from their colleagues. So again, yeah, depending on the demographic of your employee population, you're probably going to see different asks and demands and thinking depending on what that demographic looks like for you.
Of course, I think it's going to be, there is a bit of conflict, a bit of struggle I've seen in the news where obviously employees want more or keep that remote piece, but a lot of companies are demanding more on site. So I think it's going to be an interesting one to see over the next couple of
It's
months,
yeah.
couple of years, where it kind of goes.
The word demanding is in it's a strong word, right? And it's a word that I'd like to think that a company wouldn't have to use because I feel like we've got a nice balance in that people want to come in and they like coming in and they see the value in coming in. People that then feel like they have to come in just to tick a box. Something's not quite right there, and you know, a company in that scenario has probably got to look at what they're doing and how they're trying to pitch it, basically, because that doesn't feel right.
Well, look, to wrap up, Paul, but we'll add links to the episode description. But for more information about yourself, how can we connect?
So you can find me on LinkedIn, Paul Abercrombie, always happy to accept any connections. We are hiring. So any folks out there in go-to-market roles that are thinking of something new, feel free to tap me up.
So look, Paul, thank you so much for your time. Pleasure always speaking with you, and hopefully you speak soon.
Yeah. All right. Cheers, Jose.